because it provided an expansion of Medicaid. $7 billion was made available for that purpose. And the Montana legislature had a chance to expand Medicaid because of the Affordable Care Act passing. It would have provided health care to 70,000 low-income Montanans. It would have provided an additional opportunity to employ 12,000 people in the medical field. I think it was a great failing of the last session of our legislature. So I'm pleased that the Affordable Care Act provided this opportunity. I was disappointed that the Montana legislature did not buy into it.
Of course, the argument why they didn't buy into it was that it was going to eventually cost the state too much money, that even though the federal government was going to pay most of it for the first few years, that eventually it was going to fall to the state to pick up a lot of that expense, and that would be something the state couldn't afford. That was the argument.
I know, but the argument does not hold water. Sally, even when the state had to pick up its share, that was only 10% of the total cost.
Still millions of dollars, though.
90% would be paid for by the federal government.
But it's still that 10% would be millions of dollars.
Exactly. And when Brian and I left office, when the Schweitzer-Bollinger administration left office, we passed off nearly $500 million in an ending fund balance. There's sufficient money.
But you would, if you had your druthers, prefer a universal health care?
Yes, I would,
single
Sally.
Parent.
What I think that the Affordable Care Act is a good first start. Good first start in the sense that it did bring us the opportunity to expand Medicaid. It did give us the opportunity to do away with pre-existing conditions, which has been a real stumbling block for a lot of people. And it allowed young people to stay on their parents' insurance program until they're 26 years of age. Those are all very positive things. It, as I say, is a good first start, but I'm anxious to see us move to a single-payer system.
The cost of health care is one reason cited for the country having the sort of financial woes it has. And certainly balancing the budget is a big issue in Congress and has been for years and will be for many more, I'm sure. How would you balance the budget? The House Republicans would like to balance it by cutting taxes and cutting some services like Medicaid.
Sally, I think that they're wrong in their approach. Frankly, I like the Simpson-Bowles proposal in that it requires not only increased revenue but also a decrease in spending. When Brian Schweitzer and I became our governor and lieutenant governor, we were successful in that we came from small business backgrounds. We challenged expenses. We developed our resources. We created opportunity for more employment than our state has ever seen. We were successful because of our ability to manage a budget. And I think that the federal budget has to be managed also.
So
I think sequestration was a horrible, horrible idea.
But what would you cut?
Well, I think this takes study. I can't just say, oh, well, we need to cut this, this, and this. But I will say this, Sally. Nearly 70% of our budget is spent in the military. I'm sure that there's fraud, waste, and abuse somewhere in that huge military budget. I think that, and that's not to say I'm not for a strong defense. I mean, I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I understand the importance of our military. But I think that the role of our military should be one to, protect our country. But I don't think that we should consider ourselves the world's police force anymore. I think we're members of the United Nations, members of NATO. We have treaty obligations to uphold, but do so in a proportional way. We don't have to be the only people that commit troops or money, whether it's for humanitarian purposes or whether it's for maintaining world peace. I think that we can reel in some of that role that the military has assumed, and let's rebuild America, let's restore the middle class. You know, we have a crumbling infrastructure. It's time to for a public investment in building the infrastructure, whether it's a highway system or a bridge system, a water system or a sewer system, or let's expand passenger rail service.
I want to talk now
yes,
about
ma'am.
Some key environmental issues. You support the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes, I do.
You also think climate change is an issue?
Indeed it is. You know, it's not just a natural phenomenon that is coming and going. No, we as human beings are the contributors to global change, the principal contributors. And we must come to terms with that. You know, we must create more winds, solar, hydropower, you know. But getting to the question of the Keystone XL pipeline, let me say this about it. Firstly, we have to look at the Keystone XL pipeline as a positive thing for Montana for several reasons. The first of which is that it will create tens of thousands of good-paying jobs during the construction period.
Not in Montana. Not that many in Montana.
Well, during the construction period, it will.
Tens of thousands.
Well, it'll create a lot of good-paying jobs. I'll rephrase that, because it will extend from the Canadian border down to Texas. There'll be a lot of people put to work. But what it will do for Montana is create jobs, and that's always a focus of any administration. It will help us become independent of Mideast oil, and I think that should be a stated preference. I would only support the Keystone XL pipeline with several provisions. One, that whatever oil is put in that pipeline has to be consumed in the United States of America.
Because the oil companies have not agreed to that. They don't want to agree to that stipulation.
If I'm a member of the United States Senate, that would be a stipulation I would place upon it.
What would you say to the environmentalists who say, if you believe climate change is a problem, you can't support Keystone because it continues on the same spiral that we're on, which is encouraging more development of fossil fuels?
Well, Sally, you know, the day will come when we can plug in our cars, when we can no longer rely on petroleum or coal as energy sources. But that day has not yet come. The other thing that I like about the Keystone XL pipeline is that it is a much safer way to transport oil than by rail or by truck. And I think that it's safer. And overall, overreaching it all is this wonderful constitution of the state of Montana that calls for a clean and healthful environment. Now, we charge the Department of Environmental Quality to enforce this wonderful constitutional provision. And so we should say, okay, DEQ, you have the responsibility to make sure that that pipeline does not leak oil in Montana.
I want to get to the campaign right now.
Yes.
And you have said that you would only serve, if elected, one term.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you did, you'd be, I think, 84 at the end of that term, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm experienced, Sally. And believe me, experience matters. You know, I've had 20 years of public policy making. As a legislator, I served three terms in our House, elected to two terms to our Senate, two terms as our lieutenant governor. I am the only one of the candidates that has introduced legislation that has become law, some of which is the most progressive our state has seen. I think experience matters. Trust me.
Seniority also matters in Congress. It's maybe a sad truth, but it's a truth that you really can't get anything done until you've been there a while. How could you accomplish anything with no seniority?
Sally, did it take Elizabeth Warren seniority to get so much good things done in her first term, which, you know, she's a newly elected senator from Massachusetts? I'm going to spend 100% of my time representing the people of the state of Montana. I'm not going to spend half my time raising money for my next election. I think money has a corrupting influence on public policy. There's not a member of Congress that doesn't have to make a deal with political action committees and these lobbyists that finance their campaigns. I'm not going to sell myself out. I'm going to be your 100% full-time U.S. senator, not a half-time guy, not just working 3 days a week. You know, I'm blessed with good health, lots of energy, and I tried retirement once, Sally. I was fortunate. I made some good investments, and I was able to retire when I was 56. I had a shelf full of books that needed to be read. I read those, took the trips I wanted to take, caught a few fish, hit a few tennis balls, hit a few golf balls, and decided there's more to life than this. I have a passion for public policy as it relates to the common good, and it's my hope that the people of Montana will give me that opportunity.
Well, I have been speaking with John Bollinger, who is a candidate for the U.S. Senate on the Democratic ticket. Mr. Bollinger, thank you so much. Pleasure.
Thank you, Sally. I really appreciate visiting with you. And